All right, so we got Carlton Cook.
What's on that?
On the air, and now we want to welcome in Rat Pack Sports Show, NFL / fantasy football guru, Sean Naylor. Boss Hog, what's going on, man?
Boss Hog.
I got a little caught up in the game. I was like, oh, dang, I got a radio show to do.
Oh, you just forgot about us, man. You.
I was eating dinner, and then we had a late dinner tonight because my son started football practice. So, and I'm the head coach. So we had a late dinner tonight because of football practice. And then I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch the game. And so I picked up my phone and I saw it and I was like, oh man, it's 8:20. And I was like, oh, I can get on radio. So I jumped in the studio and here I am.
All right, so go ahead.
When Boss Hog show up, you know you're about to learn something.
Yeah, we is. Hey,
get your pen and paper, Governor's Park. Get your pen and your paper ready.
Hey, Carlton,
write this stuff down.
Remember we were just talking about Brent Grimes?
Yeah,
he says age ain't nothing but a number.
Okay, age ain't nothing but a number.
Hey, did you see the picture of the laceration on his leg from practice?
I didn't see the picture of the laceration. Ooh. I saw like 14 people standing over around him, though. Mm,
it's pictures floating around now.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
Opened up. I don't know what happened, but it looked like somebody opened him up like
caught a cleat.
Was that what it was?
He must have had
metal spikes, because, boy, his leg looked like. You can see the white meat. Just put it that way. You can see the white meat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he caught a cleat.
Nasty, man.
Listen, bro. Grimes go down.
Oh, we done.
Our secondary wide open, bro.
Yeah.
Our secondary wide open. When I say wide open, you think that 70% pass completion we dealt with Lovey was here? Our secondary wide open, boy.
Hey, when Love was here, it was like a swinging door.
85-90%. Exactly.
85-90%, huh? Shoot.
Come on, man. You counting on Vernon Hargreaves, some kid out of West Bubblegum University State College, who they tried to convert to safety, and they was just like, nah, you can't get on the field.
Your second
so bad Trubisky could complete a pass. Oh, don't say that. Mr. Trubisky.
Listen, I'd rather.
That dude got kicked out of practice. No, that was Hackenberg.
No, that was Hackenberg.
Yeah.
I thought that was false until I read. I'm like, dude, for real? Dude,
how can you be so bad?
You get kicked out of practice.
You get kicked out of
you
practice.
You can't break the huddle?
Coach just tell you to go home. Go
you
home.
You can't break the huddle?
That's bad, man.
He made Austin Seferian Jenkins getting kicked out of practice look real good.
He ain't lying. Also, hey, ASJ was probably looking at him laughing like, dude, come on, man. Even I wouldn't do nothing that stupid.
At least we got the play running. I ran the wrong route, but dang. You can't even break the huddle. Really, bro? I can break a huddle in a street football game. You can't break a huddle at a team you've been at for 2 years?
Pot ain't too much, man.
Oh, God.
He's pot ain't too much, man.
He ain't pot ain't too much. Man, listen.
Oh.
They just need to go ahead and forfeit all their games. Just get whoever they ain't playing. Just get them a W, and just don't play. Save the other team the injury risk because, Jimmy, if you watch football and you pay attention, generally the worst injuries happen when you playing that garbage team.
Yeah, because you're not playing hard.
That's when the injuries happen when you playing that garbage team. They need to shut the Jets down, let the Giants have that stadium for the whole year and figure out what they need. If they're going to get rid of the coach, get rid of the coach. Just get rid of 2017 season. Just
All right, don't even play. Carlton, I got the depth chart right here for the defense. I go defense first because that's what we were really talking about. Sean, you could chime in here too. All right, so right defensive end. I forgot about Robert Ayers, but I'm going to tell you my opinion on Robert Ayers, okay? He's been in the league a minute, a nice little
marginal
minute.
Play.
And
yeah.
His best season was the season he had before the Bucs signed him. So I'm skeptical of that dude because you can't be in the league 7 years and only and then you he I don't even think he had 10 sacks. He just had like a 7 or 8 sack season with the Giants, and all of a sudden you become a big signing for somebody. You ain't showed me nothing, dude. So my eyes, Robert Ayers still got to prove to me that he could be, you know, somebody you could depend on, because that what you always revert back to your career. So we'll see what he does this year, but I'm still on the fence about him. Obviously, Chris Baker, Jerry McCoy, I like that duo. William Golston, I forgot about him. He's a pretty good defensive end. He's real good against the run. Got a little bit of, little bit against the pass rush. So he's decent, but he's still kind of developing too.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
What?
Now, your starting right end and left end are Will Golston
and Robert
Ayers.
Uh-huh.
Your second round pick.
Noah Spence is number two behind Robert Ayers.
47 pounds of him is now relegated to a
pass rusher
specialist role.
Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't like that pick.
He ain't going to see.
I didn't like that pick. See,
I didn't either. I dealt with it, but I ain't like it. Because I thought he would actually try to beef up. He lost weight. Nah, bro. You done. Now you're in practice getting pushed around by a mediocre offensive line.
Yeah,
nah,
I don't even know who that dude's name was. All I know was he tried to punch a dude, and then he tried to bum rush him, and the offensive line just put all that 320 pounds on top of him, and he was stuck. Couldn't move.
You're done, bro. You're done. So, Jason Light, yet another second round pick looking like it's a flame out. I hope he does well.
Hey,
bro,
let me ask you a question.
You can't get on the field.
Jacquees Smith was a defensive end, correct?
Yes, he is. If I'm not mistaken, he's injured right now.
All right.
Still,
they got him number two on the depth chart, right?
Okay,
but guess what position he playing?
Linebacker.
Strong side linebacker.
Oh, now remember, this is the other issue I had with the draft. I forgot to bring this up. Why are we drafting players to run a 3-4 when our defense ain't even set?
Who we drafted to run a 3-4?
What's the kid out of LSU?
Shoot. Is
Come
it
on, Sean.
Kendall,
I know you know his name.
Kendall Beckwith?
Kendall Beckwith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason you draft a linebacker when you have Lavonte Kwan and, I hate to say it, Devontae Bond, but the only reason you draft a linebacker who is really no better than Devontae Bond is you're going to run a 3-4. And then you tip your hand because you go draft Stevie. Check this out. I got it. Stevie Tuikolovatu from USC.
Who is that dude?
He's the nose tackle.
For who?
From USC, the big.
Oh, he on the Bucks.
Bro.
Dude.
Yes.
I didn't know.
We drafting 3-4 players, bro.
Yeah.
We're going to be skiing a 3-4 scheme. Yet our secondary ain't fit to stop a deep pass. The minute somebody goes down in our secondary, we back to undrafted free agents.
Well, let's see here. Let's look at the cornerbacks. But after Brent Grimes and Vernon Hargraves, you got Ryan Smith, J.J. Wilcox.
Mm-hmm. Safety.
Conte. Actually, safety. Dude, they got Tandy third on the depth chart at strong safety.
Hey, exactly. Now who's starting that free?
Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith ain't playing safety at all.
And then Justin Evans and Isaiah Johnson and then Marquiston Huff. Yeah. Okay. So that's your freeze. Those are your freeze. This is the, I mean, it could change it, but this right here is the preseason depth chart.
Yeah. So who?
Yeah, this is the first one that's released. Yeah.
Going into tomorrow's game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now tell me, what name scares you in that secondary? What name do you have to coach up for?
Brent Grimes, that's it.
Brent ain't going to play.
You don't even have to coach up for him anymore.
No, you don't. You put your biggest receiver on him.
Yeah, no. If you're playing us, we put Terrell Pryor on whatever side of field he's on, and we throw to him.
They done.
Exactly.
Dude, look.
And it's done because
Terrell
Pryor, who's 6'3", you got Brent Grimes, who's 5'11".
Yeah.
You know,
35 years old.
Yeah, and he's long in the tooth. Exactly. He's Darrell Revis old. You know, he's.
Hey, is Darrell Revis on the team?
Darrell Revis is a free agent.
Oh, he's done. He's done.
Yeah.
What is that?
Carton.
That's me getting ready to go back to work.
Oh, I'm like,
is you guys in some sort of storm warning or something? You got a hurricane coming? But, man, it's outside of my Bucks, I'm interested to see what Kirk Cousins does with this completely new receiving core. Because even though some of those guys have been there a couple of years, they haven't gotten a run that DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon received. So there's going to be a curve there.
Jamison Crowder, of course, there's no curve there. He'll still be the same old Jamison Crowder out of the slot, working underneath, working the middle. The curve is going to be, and I think the curve is going to be with Josh Doctson. I don't think there's going to be too much of a curve with Terrell Pryor, just because of the type of player that Terrell Pryor has become. Since his transition to wide receiver, he is really becoming top-notch NFL athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we weren't saying that when Terrell Pryor was a quarterback, but now that Terrell Pryor has changed his position and has become a wide receiver, he's really taken the game serious, gotten into the game. He's in the film room a lot more. He's studying a lot more. He was hooking up with Kirk Cousins in the offseason. And so I don't think there's going to be that big of a curve there. I think that the curve is going to come with Josh Doctson, and if the biggest thing is going to be if Doctson can stay healthy.
Okay.
You know, he's got some hamstring issues going on now. He had the Achilles issue last year. He's got some hamstring issues going on right now. They've got Jordan Reed on the shelf probably for the entire preseason with a toe injury. He probably could play, you know, later on in the preseason if it was necessary, but they want him for week one, so keep him out for the entire preseason.
Smart move.
You know, they've got Vernon Davis again, who is the Vernon Davis that San Francisco had the year they went to the Super Bowl with Harbaugh coaching and Kaepernick and those guys out there. So they seem to have found a new leash on life in Washington. They've got him. They've got this new kid, Jeremy Sprinkle, who is very impressive in camp thus far. Big
Sprinkle?
Jeremy Sprinkle.
Hmm. You like that, Sprinkle? You like that? hey, fellas, I'm out of here. I'll listen.
All right, Carlton. Left field correspondent out.
We're going to call him Ice Cream. We're going to call him Ice Cream Sunday with Sprinkles. But but he's been impressive in camp thus far. But he is an inline type tight end who can block. And that's something that they don't – I mean, Vernon Davis can block. Jordan Reed really has to work on his blocking still. He has trouble run blocking. But this Sprinkle kid is looking really good. And then, so, I mean, they've got the weapons. They still got Ryan Grant. They've got Marquise Harris. So, I mean, they've got some weapons there, but I really am interested to see what goes on with Josh Dotson.
Yeah, that's going to be the, you know, if he can come along and develop, I think that's going to be a huge thing for him, man. But, you know, back to Terrell Pryor. I was trying to tell people this last season. And they thought I was crazy for saying this. When you look at his production, you know, what he did last season, knowing that he's only been an NFL wide receiver for 1 year, and he did what he did, and I was trying to tell people then, I said, look, I know he only done it 1 year, but you got to put this man up in there at the, you know, top of the league as one of the top receivers.
Well, you got to think, he broke 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah.
On the Cleveland Browns, who had RG3, who had Josh McCown, who had Cody Kessler playing quarterback. They went through at least 3 quarterbacks last year.
Yep.
And he broke 1,000 yards receiving. So, I mean, this kid is for real at the wide receiver. And the things that you can do with him, I mean, you can run him on the fly because he's that big and he's got speed to run the fly route. He's a big wide receiver, so he can run the out pattern. He can get possession. He can get position on a D-back, and he can catch the football. He's got very strong hands, so he can go up and get the ball, and he doesn't drop a lot. He, you know, he's not afraid to come across the middle, and his yak yards are fairly impressive as well. You know, he torched. He was taking care of Josh Norman for the first half of that football game last year when we played Cleveland. And he had his. He was having some success against a corner like Norman. So he can go up against the best, and he can win battles. You can run him. You know, you can run him on end arounds. You can run him on an end around pitch where he just stops and he throws the ball because he, you know, he's play quarterback. Why not? You know, there's all kinds of options that you can do with this guy besides just running straight fly routes with him because he's so big. So, I mean, he made the right move to prolong his NFL career, and he is really excelling at the position now.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, last year to put up those numbers as a 1 year receiver and on a team as bad as Cleveland was is impressive.
Yeah, it is. And then that's why he, you know, got the contract that he got from the, you know, Redskins. I mean, the guy, you know, can make any throw. I mean, I was watching something earlier with him, you know, training and the stuff he do. Man. Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
But Yeah, intense training.
Yeah, and there was a another video I seen about maybe last week sometimes, because it was during the first that first week of training camp with Terrell Pryor being guarded by whoever the cornerback was. Well, how do you just, you know, run a flag route and you just turn catch the ball with one hand, don't even break stride? I mean, the guy's on his back. I mean, the guy's on him. And he saw the ball, just turn around, effortless. One hand, boom. That's it. Did make it look easy. So.
Yeah, he makes it, I mean, it's gonna be something to watch with him and Cousins, I have a feeling.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say, well, he don't have the, you know, Jackson anymore, but I think he could be more effective than Jackson because of his size.
He can be definitely more effective than DeSean Jackson, and I think he can be more effective than even Pierre Garçon was. I mean, I liked Garçon. Out of the two receivers, if they were to keep one, I would have wanted to keep Garçon. But you know, today's day, it's a business. You can't keep them both. Maybe they didn't want to keep them both. They thought they had stuff in the tank that could replace them that was at cheaper dollars. So, you know, what they got Terrell Pryor for, we'll see if that works. But I'm excited to see what that brings. I hope it brings some good things. And maybe we'll see tomorrow night.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's going to be the official start to any type of football with the preseason game starting. So it's always a great thing.
That was tonight.
It's somehow tonight? Really?
Official start. Yeah, that's why I was late. I was watching the game.
Oh, I didn't realize you meant preseason game.
Yeah, I was watching. It was the Panthers and the Texans I was watching.
Oh. Did McCaffrey play?
I don't know. I didn't catch it because of football practice. I didn't catch it till the fourth quarter.
Oh,
so
okay.
He was probably, if he did play, he was out. Yeah. By then, I was watching Deshaun Watson. He was mobile, but got sacked twice. That even the rookies on that Carolina defense were flying to the ball. So that defense looks refreshed. I know it's only, you know, it's the fourth quarter of the first preseason game, so it's third and fourth stringers, you know, guys who may not make the team, may be practice squad players, things like that.
Yeah.
But the defense for the time I was watching it was for Carolina was looking pretty good.
Cool. All right, real quick, before we continue on talking a little NFL and everything that going on, just want to get some station IDs. So you're listening to the Rat Pack Sports Show live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Also, now for the last hour on WBLZ Sports and also simulcast and FM 102.1 Governor's Park, downtown Denver, Colorado. You're in the building again another week with the Rat Pack. You can, you know, tweet at us at Rat Pack Sports. You can also, you know, call us in. Line is available if you want to talk anything here for the last, you know, 15 minutes or so we have of the show talking with my man Sean Naylor. You can call the line 727-565-1585. And, you know, we'll give you a spot. Even if you sound stupid, we'll let you talk. So call in and, you know, explain to us what you want to talk about or anything that you may have that's not really on the topic of what we're talking about. We don't mind that either. So with that being said, we go back to our conversation with myself and Sean Naylor. So, looking at this preseason, man, I'm interested to see what happens with the Cleveland Browns. And the reason why I'm interested to see what happened, because I think they did some good things this offseason. And we'll see just how, you know, good the moves were that they made here coming up pretty soon. See if they are working out for them or they need to move, you know, in another direction. Because I think for the Browns, they've almost went in on this mentality of, hey, eventually we got to do something. And we'll see exactly how that all shape out with the Browns. But I think they're in a good situation right now. And they just need to keep improving and, you know, getting better.
Well, anytime that you can take the number one pick and get a guy on your defense who is not a perennial, but a consensus number one. There's no question that he should have been the number one pick in this year's draft. Even the veteran left tackle there, Joe Thomas, even said so. He said he's the real deal. There is no reason that anybody else should have went number one besides this kid. Anytime you can take that, he's a game changer, and you can put him on your defense, and then you can make a trade and get Jamie Collins from the Patriots, and you have a linebacker like Christian Kirksey. You've got a nose tackle like Danny Shelton. You've got Joe Hayden in the secondary. You take another first-round pick, and you get a hybrid player like Jabril Peppers. You take a third first-round pick. You move back into the first round, and you get a tight end like David Njoku.
Yeah.
You make a trade with the Jets to get Calvin Pryor to play strong safety. You give him a new fresh start. You know, he's starting to fade there a little bit in New York. He wasn't on the good side of Todd Bowles, so you bring him in. You're doing the right things. You're building through the draft with three number ones. I don't think so, Carlton. You're building through the draft with three number ones. You made some veteran moves with, you know, the Jamie Collins and the Calvin Pryor. So they're going to be strong. They're going to be very much improved, and they're going to be a team that is very competitive. I do not see this team as one as you used to be able to just go into Cleveland or they come to your stadium and you can automatically put it on the win on in the win column. I don't see that anymore with this team. They're going to be a team, you know, they went and got Kenny Britt. That's another one that I forgot to mention. They went and got Kenny Britt. So they're going to be very competitive, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they finished third in their division this year.
Oh, the Browns finishing third?
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me just because I think Hugh Jackson has got them playing in the right way. I think, I don't think the Bengals are going to be as strong as some people think they are.
No, I think they're going to have. I think the Bengals are going to have a down year.
Yep. The Ravens. If they don't get Flacco back sooner rather than later, they're going to be in trouble. The Steelers are the Steelers. They're going to have, you know, if Ben can stay healthy, if they can get Le'Veon Bell to get his butt in camp, although they got this James Conner kid out of Pittsburgh who is lighting it up.
Yeah, and he's a pretty decent back, too.
You know, so, you know, they don't, I don't know if they care much if Lev Bell comes back, but, you know, Cleveland could, like I said, I think they could pass just because of the things that happened to Cincinnati, the offensive players they lost on that line. I think Cleveland could pass them and take that third spot from them, you know, at a 7-9 season. I think they could finish third in the AFC North with a 7-9 record.
That would be interesting, man. And it'd be a good, you know, good thing for the Browns. You know, they've been through a tumultuous era since coming back into the NFL. They haven't been that good. They don't have a whole lot of good seasons behind that. So I'm rooting for, you know, Hugh Jackson in that case, because I think he's done it before. He did it in Oakland. And, you know, Al Davis fired him after 8-8 season. And since then, he's never got back, you know, to having a head coaching job. So I think now he's more prepared and more experienced. And I think, you know, last season they lost a lot of games, but I thought they competed in some of those games. They had a chance to win some of those other games, and they just, you know, didn't put it together at the end. So I think they could be on their way back to some type of respectability around the league.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're on that upward climb, back, like you said, back to respectability within the NFL. I wrote on it a couple weeks ago. You know, I said the Cleveland Browns are no longer the doormat of the NFL. That now belongs to probably the New York Jets.
Yeah, the Jets are just dumpster fire, man. Dumpster fire. But getting here, we got about 10 minutes left, so we're getting close to the end of the show. I think Carlton Cook is still sending us messages, so.
Yeah, he said the Browns botched the draft, which I don't think they did. I think they.
No, me neither.
I think they did some good things. Anytime that you can give up as little as they gave up to
gain as much as they got in return.
To gain as much as they got. And then, you know, they had over $100 million in salary cap, and to go out and help a team such as Houston Texans rid themselves of an ache in Brock Osweiler, put him in a system such as Hugh Jackson's system to where so far he's looking like an NFL quarterback. We'll see if that happens once he starts facing other teams. But he's listed number one on the depth chart right now with Cody Kessler as number two and Deshaun Kizer as number three. But, you know, if Osweiler does seem to find himself, then maybe, you know, you've got something there. You've got Isaiah Crowell. You've got Corey Coleman. You've got Rashard Higgins. You, like we said, you got Kenny Britt, you got Njoku. I mean, they're so high on Njoku that they cut Barnage the next day.
Yeah, that was crazy there. And I mean, Barnage, was a pretty good tight end. And Pro Bowl, had went to the Pro Bowl. I mean, I wasn't expecting that.
Right. No, nobody was. So, I mean, yeah, the Browns are on the up, and they won't be pushovers in 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. We'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, I'm rooting for Hugh Jackson to turn that team around just because I like him as a head coach. I think he's a really good, coach. So we'll see exactly what they gonna do over there. Well, we got some, oh, no, that's baseball. Never mind.
So McCaffrey had 7 carries for 33 yards tonight.
So that's about what, 4?
That's about
3.5
yards.
Hold on, 7 carries for how many yards? What, 7?
33. 7 for 33. So you're looking at, let's see, yeah, you're looking at about 4 yards a carry, 4.5 yards a carry.
That's not bad at all.
No. And Deshaun Watson goes for 203 total yards and a rushing touchdown.
Not bad at all.
I think we'll see what Bill O'Brien does with Deshaun Watson. But I think he could end up taking over the starting job there before the first week.
Yeah, I think so too. Carlton Cook has another comment here. It says Pepper's coverage tape is non-existent. The tight end was a no name until the combine. Miles Garrett was a good pick. Brown's botch. So he doesn't like Pepper's pick or the tight end pick at all.
I can give him that nobody heard of Njoku down in Miami up until the combine. But he's a big bodied tight end who has, he's got good hands. I think it was a good pick. They needed another weapon. I don't think Barnage was the type of tight end that Hugh Jackson wanted for a system. He wanted somebody more athletic, more along the lines of a Jordan Reed type and body style and athleticism. And that's where Njoku came in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they needed, that's the type of tight end they was looking for. And he was the, best type, prototype for that position. I mean, big, fast, can get upfield, good hands, and, that's what they wanted. So, we'll see, man. I mean, I didn't necessarily, hate the pick. I actually kind of did like the pick. I mean, the draft is always one of those deals where you expect the unexpected, so just have to be prepared for it and prep your team accordingly. So, with that being said, we're going to hear at the end of the show, and I'd like to, thank everybody that, called in. William Graves, the first caller we had, can't remember his name, but he was nice to have him for first time caller. Well, actually, first time calling, doing the. Nicholas Lane, who called in early because he had a family function to get to. He called in, talked a little NBA, NFL as well. And William Graves called in. So appreciate all them calling in as well. As always, my man, Sean Naylor, appreciate you calling in. And we got some fantasy football leagues to set up. And I already got one set up and filled up in less than a day. So I'm going to have to do a second one. To accommodate more people.
Which one am I in?
You're going to be in the second one.
In the second one?
Yeah. I got to send you the... Hold on. Did I already send you the invite?
No.
No, we're in the second one. There were so many people.
You need
my
email again?
What email?
Are you going to reactivate last year's league?
Oh, I didn't get that one. No, it's a new one. I could reactivate last year's.
You're just building a brand new one?
Yeah.
But okay. Do you need me to message you my email?
No, I think I have it. Is it one you use for the show or something different?
I can use the one for the show. That's fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, send it to me so I can send you out the invite link.
RatPackFantasyGuru@gmail.com?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
That one.
All right, Sean.
That one.
You know what to do, buddy. Give the listeners your information so they can, reach out to you if they need to or, check you out on the social media.
It's getting close to that time, people.
Oh, yeah.
You need your fantasy questions answered. We'll start talking fantasy on a more regular basis here in the next couple of weeks. So you need to get a hold of me before then. You can get on me with the Rat Pack Facebook page. Just tag me, Sean Naylor. You can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat at NFLINSC. And next Wednesday will be the announcement of the new Rat Pack Fantasy Twitter account.
Cool. All right. So, everybody, you can reach me on Twitter at TokenWild. You can also reach me also on Twitter at Rat Pack Sports if you want to hit us up on the Rat Pack Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook in the Rat Pack Sports Show group, or you can message me directly on Facebook, Derek Jones. And so that's how you can reach me. And if you want to reach anybody from the show, like I said, you can hit us up on Twitter, or you can like our Rat Pack Sports Show like page and send us a message through there as well. So we're all over the place. But now it's time to get out of here and get ready for some old football for the next few days. And when we get back Sunday night for Rat Pack Sports Show over there in WBLZ Sports, we'll be talking about some preseason football results. Hopefully no season-ending knee injuries, because that'll suck. But that's going to do it for us here. For everybody listening on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, also listening over at WBLZ Sports, and Simon Casson, the listeners who's listening over at FM 102.1 Governor's Park, downtown Denver. Appreciate you listening.
My people up the street.
Oh, yeah, you right there. So you them your people over there.
My people up the street. about 2 hours north.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's still up the street. All right.
Yep, that's up the street.
Yep. So that's going to do it for us, y'all. And appreciate you listening. And we'll catch you next week. We out of here. Rat Pack Sports Show. Peace.